For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Back here on Cody and Gold, we are at Rally House Oak Park, right across from Oak Park Mall, getting set for the start of the football season. It is the place to be to gear up as the Chiefs open it up tomorrow against the Ravens. You can shop the latest, most popular styles of Chiefs gear right here at Rally House. Shop 16 different Kansas City area Rally House locations and online at rallyhouse.com. We're also registering people to win a couple Chiefs Super Bowl prize packs. You just got to stop into the Oak Park location. It takes about 2 seconds there, and also you got to get a new Chiefs shirt, maybe a jersey. We had a gentleman, as we joked,
like
last
one
hour.
New fresh piece of gear before the season.
I think so. Every okay. Season, you need something fresh and new. You know, at the end of the season, you'll probably be buying Super Bowl gear. But
I got a lot of Taylor Swift Chiefs gear last year. Really loaded up.
Yeah, a lot
on
of
that.
Did.
Maybe three or four Chiefs Taylor Swift things last year.
I do have to point out, though, I noticed, you know, it's Red Wednesday in Kansas City because They're playing Thursday, so we know Red Friday, we'll have to wait a week or so. And there's plenty of people wearing red throughout the store. I'm wearing red today. A couple listeners stopped by already wearing red. And I look, and you're wearing a blue or navy, you know, polo. Where's the red? It's Red Wednesday. Out of all, I would have expected Mr. Taylor Swift Chiefs shirt guy would be wearing one.
First off, we've discussed this on this show before. And I stand by the same logic I had before, which is I'm a Red Friday purist.
This
but you get me on Wednesday, Red Monday, Red Tuesday. You'll get every day of the week. You get Friday. I'll put it on game day and you get Friday. You don't get to hold me hostage every single day of the week. Also, it doesn't make sense. It should be Red Tuesday. It's not. It's Red Friday for a Sunday game, but now it's Red Wednesday for a Thursday game? No good. I am a Red Friday purist. On Friday, I'll put on some red for the game on Sunday. You don't get to hold all 7 days hostage. I'm allowed to wear other clothes.
You would admit the NFL has adapted its schedule to where the Chiefs are playing just about every day of the week these days. Something that didn't occur back in the 90s or whenever they started Red Friday in town, right? Mm-hmm. And so the Chiefs are playing on a Thursday. It's the day before kickoff. It is Red Wednesday. The reason why it's Red Friday is because it's not a work week on a Saturday. A lot of people are off on Saturday, so they do it on the work week when you're in the office on Friday. So it makes plenty of sense. Today is Red Wednesday, and you're not wearing red. This gentleman that just came up, now his is Nebraska red, but that's
but
okay.
But it's red.
I hope they beat Colorado this weekend. Trust me, I could use that for a few bets. But he's wearing red. At least he's trying. He's making an effort. You're wearing blue.
Someone said, get me over to Iraq and get me a red polo. I wouldn't have any trouble getting a Chiefs
I was gonna say,
shirt while I'm here.
Get
that
this
would
man
actually be
a red shirt.
Zero issue at all. As a matter of fact, there's like these Taylor Swift related shirts on the front end, too.
Man.
Put on red tomorrow. Like,
well, so why? You know, you can wear red multiple days.
You know what it is? It's not even this. Like, I'm trying to tell you, I'm a Red Friday. The truth is, I don't think that hard about it. I just, I got shirts, and I just think I'll just put one of these shirts on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that hard about it before I leave for work in the morning. I thought I'm going to be at Rally House. There's going to be some people here that
for a Red Wednesday remote, you know?
Yeah, that's fair, I guess. I don't know. I mean, but they also, like, shouldn't we be wearing, like, a fan hat? You know, where's your...
Well, I'm not a hat guy. I don't wear hats.
I've seen you in a hat.
I wear hats if I'm at the lake or if it was a long night and my hair's a mess in the morning and I throw on a hat and I'm out working, it's the weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't wear hats otherwise.
That's the only hat scenario for you?
Yeah, one day when I start balding, I'll wear a hat more often.
Wow, so you're just already conceding that if you start balding, you're going to become a hat guy.
Probably going to have to.
How many people who are Baltimore all wear hats?
I'm just saying, like, there's a gentleman standing in front of us. I'm not trying to say he's wearing a hat, and he's probably like, what is he talking about? But he's got a Chiefs hat on. He's trying. He's wearing red in some form or fashion. So anyway.
He's actually wearing a royal shirt.
But he's also got a Chiefs hat on.
Yeah,
he's doing it right. Anyway,
yeah,
I just know that was like the first thing.
I'll wear one tomorrow.
When the show started, and I was like, oh, we're at Rally House, and it's exciting. The season starts tomorrow, and get your gear. And I'm like, Cody's not even wearing red.
I also don't have, like, business attire like you do for the teams.
You
I don't have, like,
t-shirt.
A polo with a
– I just threw on a polo today. I haven't worn this one in a while. When I lived in Houston, I would wear this one, and people there didn't get the idea, like, understand the Chiefs color scheme. There, they thought I worked at McDonald's. Because this polo, be honest.
It's got a pretty bright,
you know?
Yeah, it's got kind of a McDonald's.
Like, I could work in the drive through and people just think I'm fitting right in with the shirt
yeah.
I have on. Anyway, you gotta
work on
it. Someone says, Cody must be a Titans fan. That's true. Someone said gold. They must mean you because you're wearing
Titans
blue.
Fan.
Well, you're wearing tight. Your color scheme's Titans.
It's not Titans. It's just a blue polo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not supporting any team.
Someone says, Cody hits 40 a week ago. He's turning into get off my lawn, old guy who doesn't like change, doesn't like red. Now it's Red Friday or nothing, no Red Wednesdays, no
I'm
going to
stay out of it. I know that I've had some unpopular opinions on things that I think most people probably do, but don't do anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this with like the big nostalgia video pieces. Doesn't move the needle for me. Cool if it's fine for you. Don't care if it makes you happy. Enjoy your life the way you want to enjoy it. Not for me.
Okay.
Let me enjoy my life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's all. If you need Chiefs gear, which apparently I do,
you do,
come to Rally House at Oak Park, where you can register to win 2 Chiefs Super Bowl champion t-shirts and a tumbler and 2 hats.
I want this tumbler.
You get all the gear you want.
I kind of want the tumbler.
Go find out where it is on a shelf.
There's a bunch of them right in front of us, as a matter of fact.
There's tumblers,
as
but not
well.
That tumbler.
Not that specific one. So we hope to see you. We're here till 2 o'clock, Rally House Oak Park. It's the location right across from Oak Park Mall, right around 95th, I think it's technically 93rd, in Quivira. Travis Kelce, healthy entering week one. Thank goodness, was not the case a year ago. We know he did not play against the Lions, him and Chris Jones, and it changed the entire complexity of that game, and we all know what happened against Detroit a season ago. Travis yesterday spoke to the media, and I don't know how many times he's going to speak to the media during the season because he's got his podcast now, but he did speak yesterday, and he was asked about workload and how he's feeling and the expectation for him in 2024?
Just as good, if not more ready than I have been in years past, just because you get more comfortable with your body. You learn things from the mistakes you made in years past and things like that, and you just constantly keep getting better and keep getting more aware of, you know, where your body's at. So
that was Travis talking about where he's at physically, and he feels like he's maybe got a better grasp on that. Look, nobody, of course, especially as an athlete, knows, you know, the limit they can push their body to.
Correct.
Better than themselves. I just think going into the season, the fact that he's healthy, like, that's why the expectation.
That's why it feels so much better.
Well, for him, but also how I think his season numbers will look if he's actually healthy all year, when he clearly wasn't a year ago, and he claims he feels better than he did at this point last year, even before the bone bruise he had in his knee, then yeah, I think the expectation should be, once again,
return
that
to form.
He's going to be closer to what he was. I don't know about 1,300 yards. That might be a bit rich, but definitely 1,100 yards. Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, the guy was 16 yards away from 1,000 in what was perceived to be a down year.
In a year in which he wasn't healthy for 8 consecutive weeks and would have still gotten 1,000 had he played the final week of the season. I think his absolute peak this season is still 1,300 yards. I think in his best version, he is still capable of that at his age in this offense. I wouldn't predict that to be his final number gold. I would predict his final number to be more in the, let's call it, 1,100, 1,150-yard range, not on that end. And so, yeah, I wouldn't predict it to be exactly the same on that end. I would predict it to be in that range. But I still think his peak is around that. Don't you? Don't you still think he's capable of being a 1,300-yard receiver? It's hard to imagine he's not.
The only thing that I would question, too, in addition to where he's at, would just be the weapons in the offense this go around. Now, we've both acknowledged that if the deep
more
threat
mouths
works
to feed.
Yeah, but if the deep threat works, it should make his life easier. But yeah, you all of a sudden have the ability to connect on some 40 plus yard passes that you didn't have last year to a worthy eventually Hollywood Brown when he's back and healthy. Plus Rashee Rice is in year 2 and knows this offense better than he did at this point last year, of course. And so that's the other hurdle, other than just, hey, are you saying he can't get the 13 because you don't think physically he can? Maybe a little bit, but a lot of it is just that this offense with Pacheco and having all the wide receivers that we think are going to have nice seasons compared to a year ago where it was Kadarius Toney as your number one receiver, and this year your number one's Rice and Worthy and Brown. Yeah, I think that could eat into the numbers a little bit, even though it'll be an offense that we all think is going to be so much better, as in top five good.
Like so here's part of the math problem. If I say Travis Kelce's getting 1,300 yards a year, 1,200 yards this year, it becomes a math problem because I've already stated on this show out loud that I think Rashee Rice is having 1,200 yards receiving this year, Gold. And if I think that, well, then not everyone's going to have 1,000 yards. Where are the yardage totals not coming from? Well, for me, it's easy. I think Rashee Rice is a 1,200-yard receiver. I think Travis Kelce is an 1,100-yard receiver. And I think the next highest receiver on the team is slightly below 900. I never thought Hollywood Brown was going to be a 1,000-yard receiver. I certainly don't think it now that he's going to miss an entire week. I think the next closest receiver is 850 yards, 800 yards. And then they got everyone else kind of filtering in below with a lot of guys landing between 4 and 850 and those two guys hitting a bulk of the receptions because I think they're going to work in concert with that deep passing game. I think Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce are going to take turns getting 8 to 10 yards at a time underneath with yards after the catch while Hollywood Brown and Xavier Worthy and some others run deep routes and that those two guys are going to get the bulk. They're going to be 80, 90 catch guys, 75, you know, catch guys, and mass up the yardage totals that I'm giving you in predictive manner. And so I think it makes sense. I think Travis is actually telling the truth. I do think he feels better than he's felt in a long time. Entering hurt also probably makes
I think that's the biggest part of this equation.
He like, probably feels like $1 million.
That you're entering, you're not going to miss week one doing an injury. And we know he had to sit out week 18 because of his body and health at that time. And so he missed two games last year, and he still was 16 yards short of 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. I mean, that's pretty impressive. I was just pulling up just to give you an idea. We know he's going to go down as the greatest tight end of all time. But last year, the top receiving yards for tight ends, 1,020. That was Kittle. Then it was Travis still at 984.
He missed two games, and he was still second in the NFL. And
Evan Ingram, who played in all 17 down in Jacksonville, had a really nice season. He had 963. We know T.J. Hockenson, he only played in 15. He had 960. He's also going to miss multiple games to start the season. Sam Laporta, really, really impressive rookie season for him, 889. And then Njoku, 882. And then after that, there's a huge drop-off. You start to get to guys like Jake Ferguson, Cole Kmet in Chicago. The point being is, like, if Travis just has even, you know, anything above 1,000, he's probably leading all tight ends and receiving yards again easily.
In his last seven seasons before last year, right, when he had 984, in the previous seven seasons, do you know what he averaged? What do you think he averaged per season? 7 years before last year when he was finally hurt, what do you think he just averaged yardage-wise per season?
Like probably a little over 1,000.
1,229.
Yeah.
1,229 on average for the seven seasons before this one. And by the way, if I added up all of them and I included his 860-yard seasons essentially each of his first 2 years in the league, his 984 the year before that, I'll bet you that he's averaging over 1,000 still in that too. He's averaging 1,000, 1,133. It's like, that's what he averages.
Sure, I don't think anybody's questioning what he's done. I think
can he still do
the question is
my
now,
answer is he would have done that last year had he not been hurt.
Well, I mean, that's what I said. He missed 2 weeks, and he was only 16 yards short. I'm just saying, like, the average stuff, that's why he's going to go down as the greatest tight end in the Hall of Fame and greatest tight end in NFL history. But the question is more for people heading into this season, can he still be that? Nobody's disputing what he has been. The question is, can he be the same player yardage-wise as he was before? And I think the health part is the reason why the answer is yes. And heading into this season with an offense that hopefully is going to just be more explosive is also going to help.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce, by the way, guys, is 830.5 is his over-under on FanDuel currently.
Yeah.
Over.
We talked about these in June. The two that stood out to all three of us at the time when the numbers first went on the board was that number that you just mentioned, Drew, 830.5. We were all like, over. Big time over. And then Xavier Worthy at 750. We all are like, that seems a little high for him. I don't know if you guys still feel that way on Worthy. I still like the under on Worthy 750. But Travis Kelce, 830 seems awfully low. I just told you what some of the other tight ends did in football last year. That number is like what the average was for some of the top 10 guys. You know, if you were a top 10 receiver at the tight end position last year, you were having 770 to 850 yards. But we know that's not what he has been and what he usually is if he's healthy. So I would be stunned if he doesn't get over 830 and a half.
I already bet it. I bet it when we were talking about it at that time because I was fearful the number would go up. And yet somehow it's not 830 and a half. And I know that, like, technically I'm just giving you gambling advice just like anyone else would, and you are free to ignore it just like you would anyone else who's giving you advice if Alex is on the morning show tomorrow or any of the other number of bets we've suggested to you. That's the easiest money I'm going to win all year. 830 and a half, if he does not get hurt. The only season in his career he has not amassed that total was his rookie season when he tore his ACL. He has been over that total every single season of his career, sometimes 400 or 500 yards over that total. Last year, in an injury-plagued season, he was 150 yards over that total. So,
It's an outside of Kansas City thing because the narrative for much of last year outside of here was that Travis Kelce didn't look the same and he was done and all that. And then the playoffs, he of course looked like a Hall of Fame tight end again. And so that's what the number I think is banking on. But I'm with you where that number seems really low for Travis Kelce. You mentioned betting, by the way. That betting show, it's back for another year. Live shows don't start until after the Royal season, but there is a podcast up now, first episode of the year, in which we go through props like that, talk about thoughts on week one, and tomorrow we'll have more game-specific bets and things like that. But if you want to check out the podcast, first that betting show of the year is up on Odyssey, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast.
Should we get to the trash of the day?
We should.
Trash of the day.
All right, this one takes us to another debate on Reddit. We've had a couple of these here recently. It's wedding related as well, which always seems to get people fired up. Everybody's got an opinion on how weddings should go. I told you I got my twin sister's wedding coming up in November, so that's been all anybody in the family's been talking about here recently. Everybody's planning things, trying to get it all figured out. Got a bachelor party coming up later on this month. But this has to do with a newlywed woman who sought advice on Reddit after her wedding turned into a fiasco thanks to a few tardy family members. Think about that. Late to your own family member's wedding. That seems like a mess.
Great.
Here's the quote. The day of the wedding started out as they normally do. The bride was inside getting ready and final touches were being made outside, she wrote in her August 27th post. She continued, after I was almost ready by noon, her mom had to run back to the hotel 20 minutes away to change, come back with their grandma and family friend. The prompt ceremony start time of 2 o'clock, the bride said the group was running a little late, but nothing bad enough to alter the date's schedule events. Next thing she says she knows, quote, I'm walking myself down the aisle with no mom, grandma, or family friend in sight. The ceremony continues, and it's over before we know it. The wedding guests arrived 45 minutes after the wedding had ended. So she started the wedding without her mom, without her grandparents, and all that. This is on the family members for not coming back in time. Not
correct.
On her. She can't delay her wedding by an hour. These events, you're paid by the hour. You have certain scheduled events for the entire day.
This is not
this
on
is terrible.
You.
That is awful.
Could you be, like, this just goes back to my biggest pet peeve in life, which is your inability, not yours, people's inability to be on time. It is not my fault if you choose to not come to the wedding because you thought you had time to do these things. Why are you scheduling different things to do on that wedding day anyway, right? Why are you waiting for, why aren't you leaving early? Why are you arriving late? What part of this do you think was a good idea? And why are you getting hostile? Like, they're like, well, I'm sorry, I wasn't ready. I don't care. I care less. I care about you being at my wedding and the other way around. The invitation said two. That's when the wedding officiant had another ceremony after hers, which is true, by the way. So when I got married, Gold, the person who married us had other people to marry.
Right, it's scheduled
other plans. They don't just do one a day. It doesn't eat up their whole day. Sometimes there was a different time. They're trying to earn a living. They can't be held hostage by you because you chose to be late to it. I can't believe. And some of
you cannot be the mother of the bride and miss
done
the
getting
wedding.
Herself ready.
Yeah,
that's a you problem. You didn't miss a flight. You didn't. You know, there weren't like extenuating circumstances that prevented you from doing these things. You just simply couldn't get your hair done in time.
Yeah,
I'm not holding up a wedding because of that.
That's crazy, though. That in that circumstance, like it'd be one thing if you waited like 5 minutes. You start 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late. But you can't expect him to start at 45 minutes late. And in turn, she was missing some of the most important people in her life. And that's something that, like, if you're the mother of the bride, like, you can't, like, that's something you can't, like, you're going to have to deal with that the rest of your life.
So I've seen a am I the a-hole question that was related to this, right? And I thought that they were perfectly in the right. So everyone's got at least one family member who cannot be on time to someone. Gold, you've got a family member, right, who is always late to every gathering you're supposed to go to. It drives you nuts. So in one of these weddings, like, if you know your mom's always late, they sent their mom a different invitation, Gold, that said 1 o'clock instead of 2 when the wedding was actually scheduled to start. They rolled in with 5 minutes to spare. So they should have been 1:55 and were then mad that they were told the wrong time. So this person would have been 55 minutes late to the actual wedding, but got on time for there, and they were mad at their parent, or they're mad at their kid, for sending them a separate invitation. It's like, I got you here, didn't I? Respect me enough to show up on time. I could not disagree more with this person on this article. It said, Florida-based etiquette expert Jacqueline Whitney, which is the most etiquette expert name of all time, told Fox News Digital that someone should have simply called the mom to see where they were and why they were and if they were running late. They were an hour late! Isn't 10 minutes?
The bride should not be stressing about her mom making it to her wedding on wedding day.
That is correct.
That is the trash of the day. Here on Cody and Gold, as we continue broadcasting from Rally House in Oak Park, it is the spot to be ahead of game day tomorrow. Gear up for the Chiefs' start of their three-peat campaign. You can shop at all 16 locations, plus rallyhouse.com. We've got a couple Chiefs Super Bowl prize packs that we're giving away. You just got to come and register to win those. Just had another gentleman stop on by and do that. It is very simple. It takes, I don't know, 15 seconds, and then you win, you get called, and you got this really cool tumbler, some T-shirts, some Super Bowl hats as well. It is that simple. And, look, you got to get a fresh shirt, as we said, before the start of the season anyway. Maybe a hat, whatever you
It seems like there's some more people in the text line that agree with me on this Red Monday thing. Let me ask you a question. When the Chiefs play on a Tuesday, is it Red Monday or Red Tuesday?
It's Red Monday. The Red Friday slash Tuesday.
So Red Friday covers Monday, though?
So Red Friday is Red Friday is the last weekday, workday, before the game starts, and it's never meant to be a game day. Game day is game day. You don't have to have a separate day. I don't know why this is so confusing for a lot. Like, Red Friday was created as like a celebratory thing ahead of the start of Sunday games. It's never been on a Saturday or a Sunday, and you don't need it on a game day. So when a game day is on a Thursday, it makes sense that today's Red Wednesday. It's not Red Thursday because tomorrow is game day. If they play on a Tuesday, it's Red Monday.
I don't like that it's a difference between 1 or 2 days off. There
doesn't seem to be any consistency. It's a workday thing. The whole idea is like that you're wearing red to your office.
But if
and
I'm
the
going, but if
red.
There's a game day during the week, I don't need a different. I don't need Monday and Tuesday.
But that's game
they
day
play on a Tuesday.
Game day is Tuesday.
Why do we need a separate day for wearing?
Game
Friday makes
game
sense.
Day.
It's like it's the last workday before Sunday.
Correct.
Game day. I could just wear. I don't need red Thursday. I don't
By your logic,
Wednesday.
we don't need Red Friday either because it's game day Sunday. I'm going to wear red then anyway.
No. Because you won't be with your office mates.
But
I will be with my office mates on Thursday.
Not everybody.
We can all wear
Chiefs
gear that day.
You think people aren't taking off work tomorrow and Friday? I guarantee you Friday after people are out late are not working on Friday. I bet you tomorrow people are leaving work by noon.
Friday, just on Thursday for the game.
People are leaving work early tomorrow or not working.
But
people will be tailgating all day.
It's only 70,000
a lot of people. It's a lot of people. Anti-Red Friday, anti-Red Wednesday. Cody Tapp here on Cody
and Gold. I told you I was fine with Red Friday. I'm a Red Friday purist.
Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll get to that here on Cody and Gold and why we're not worried about one particular position that has some.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent. Number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Inexperience.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Should have saved our Red Friday debate for that. I don't understand why you don't understand my side of it. And I couldn't possibly be right.
Well, that could be said about any debate. Like, that's not about
you
that.
You refuse to, like, I understand your logic behind it, but you don't seem to be understanding of my logic at all, which is if it's meant for a weekday camaraderie, we can just do that tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to rehash this for the fifth time because we already did it for 10 minutes on the show. I would say that, once again, game day is game day. So that's why game day exists on game day. It's called game day because there's a game on the day. And so the Red Friday tradition is a pregame and a pregame tradition. So that's why it's the day before a game when there's a work week.
Mm. I disagree with – I don't think it's as pregame as a tradition as it is like a workplace. It's not about the pregame. That's not why people were running Fridays, because it's the last day in the work week. They'll see each other.
And this is the last work day week before the game because it's game day tomorrow. Anyway, this is a dumb argument. We don't need – why did you bring it up again? We literally just spent 7 minutes, 15 minutes
ago
about it.
I'm actually kind of impressed.
And you're wanting to do it again. What
I'm
are we
impressed.
Doing?
I thought more people would be against me on the text line, and it's more split than I thought.
It is split.
There are more people on my side. Alex is getting back in people's mentions. Disagreeing with him. I respect both sides.
I'm on your side, Gold.
I don't know if I want that or not.
That's true.
Jeez, all right.
All right. Hello, man. Gold's changing his opinion as we speak.
Your recent
track record on stadium stuff is really
nice. Settle down. I'm wearing red today, by the way, as well.
Are you?
Yeah.
You're wearing Cody. See, Cody actually.
That actually makes me look worse.
Drew's wearing red, and he's a Cincinnati guy. I mean, man. Anyway.
He's not wearing a Chiefs shirt. All right, he's just wearing a red shirt.
All right, enough of that. Coming up at 12:30, we will be joined by Josh Vernier, Royals insider. Also at 1 o'clock today, Nate Taylor from The Athletic will join us on site here as we're at Rally House Oak Park and set for the start of the Chiefs season. No matter what day you think today should be, we know tomorrow is
game. You need the gear either way, so just kidding.
We know tomorrow is game day. One thing that made us feel a little bit better about the youth at left tackle for this team, which of course is rookie Kingsley Suamataia, is the fact that you look at the track record of starting tackles in Super Bowls for Mahomes, other than Eric Fisher in 2019, who never probably got enough respect for how good of a football player he was because he was drafted number one overall and it was a weaker draft. And
one of the worst drafts in NFL history.
And so people probably never gave him enough credit for how good he was. After that, guys that started left tackle in Super Bowls for Mahomes, Mike Rimmers, we know how that one went, Orlando Brown Jr., and then Donovan Smith. So it's to have a rookie, Kingsley Suamataia, starting at left tackle, because he has such a vet in Joe Tooney next to him and a center now locked up on a long-term extension in Creed Humphrey. Like, I'm not that concerned. I'm not saying there won't be moments where you're like, man, he looked like a rookie on that play. But I think they're going to be just fine. By the time the season progresses, I don't think we're going to be talking about Kingsley being a liability. They've had, with the exception of Mike Rimmers, when they also were missing their right tackle, let's not forget.
That should have been Eric Fisher twice.
Yes.
But it wasn't because, he got injured in the AFC Championship game, and then eventually it became Mike Rimmers, who had been filling in for Mitchell Schwartz. What this has taught me is, and I know that this is a really dangerous precedent to set, because we talk about this all the time with surrounding your quarterback by talent, and Aaron Rodgers never had a single first-round skill position player ever taken the entire time he was in Green Bay, which never made any sense. I am not worried about who plays left tackle for this team. I hope Kingsley ends up being great. That'd be in the best case scenario for everybody. Hope Kingsley's great, Gold. That'd be the easiest possible outcome across the board. But I'm not all that concerned about it. And the reason why I'm not all that concerned about it is because they've been in four Super Bowls under Patrick Mahomes and have had four different starting left tackles. And with the exception of the guy who was at least the third choice on the offensive line for tackle, the other three guys were available relatively cheaply, in my opinion. Eric Fisher, now he's a first overall pick, but he was just like a dude in the league by that time. Mm-hmm. Orlando Brown Jr. cost you a first round pick, but was only here for 2 years. And then Donovan Smith, a guy who was available on the street in the middle of the summer and eventually became your starting left tackle. I feel pretty good about the fact that Kingsley Suamataia, because if for some reason, this goes back to the initial conversation we had, we can get back into that, which is if for some reason Kingsley's better than that, well, then they're in real trouble. But Mahomes, this is why I say I don't care about left tackle. In a weird way, I don't think a truly great left tackle would help Mahomes so much more than you think. Like, if it were Trent Williams instead of Kingsley, there would obviously be a difference. But because of the style of play that Patrick Mahomes plays, sometimes just a truly great, I do my job, I stand back there, my quarterback stands back there, left tackle, can't help him as much as he can help you. And so because of the way Patrick Mahomes plays, I don't think he needs elite left tackle play in order to consistently play elite. And obviously, that's been the case.
Yeah, I mean, of course he doesn't need it. The proof is in the pudding with that. But that's like saying, like, last year, oh, Mahomes made it through with a bad wide receiver core. He doesn't need to improve it. Like, you still want to try to improve your left tackle spot. Just like you wanted to try to improve your wide receiver room, just because you won the Super Bowl doesn't mean it's not a weakness. Left tackle, I won't call it a weakness last year. Donovan Smith was average play. I think they're going to end up upgrading that position with Kingsley Suamataia. Right now, maybe it doesn't matter as much, but I think it's a conversation further into Mahomes' career when he's not as mobile down the road, when he's 34 years old or something like that.
That's
he's not
years
as mobile.
Away.
As I said, down the road. And so we'll see at that point in time. Right now, yes, his ability, the numbers show it, to avoid sacks, his sack rate is as good as anybody in the NFL.
Yeah, I would be more worried about it if the Stark history just didn't exist. I'm also excited to see what Kingsley Suamataia can do, because it's not that they've never invested in left tackle. They traded a first-round pick for Orlando Brown Jr. They tried to get him an extension, but the price tag was too high for the level of play they were getting. They took a third-round rookie in Lucas Niang. That never came to fruition. They took a third-round pick last year at left tackle again in Wanye Morris. That didn't come to fruition. Now they've upped it a little bit in taking a second-round pick in Kingsley Suamataia. And at this rate, it looks like they've already hit better with him than they did the two third-round picks. And now we'll find out if he can equal the production of the one they spent a first-round pick on, which was Orlando Brown Jr. There wasn't a noticeable difference in compensation for the three tackles they've taken in the draft. It was a late second, late third, late third. So 30 picks, not insignificant, but not huge, not a second to a sixth. These guys were taken in similar rounds, quality rounds, for that matter. They might have just actually finally found somebody willing to start in Kingsley. Because if they didn't want Kingsley to start, they just gonna pick Donovan Smith back up off the street, don't you think?
Well, I think it was pretty evident with their way they worded their post season / pre draft comments about Wanye Morris. Like they acknowledged there were some good things, there were some things they weren't happy about. They told him there's gonna be a competition, and then they drafted over him. When you draft over a player to that extent, a first rounder,
and they let them compete.
Second rounder, but yeah. A lot of people had him mocked to the first round.
But sure, but he was a late second
round pick, and that was pretty evident at that point in time how they felt about Wanye Morris.
Knew I wasn't gonna say practically a third.
Well, that's why I started.
But late
laughing.
Second is a big difference between a first round pick.
Yeah, that's why I was laughing a little bit, because I was like, oh no, we're gonna go back to the draft late round draft conversation.
After our Red Friday debate, I don't think we need to get into.
I don't think so, Cody.
Practically, because by this argument, he's practically a third round.
He practically is.
Which
what
means
a steal.
He's the same
what
as
a steal.
Wanye, you know?
What a steal, you
and
know?
Lucas Niang.
And Wanye was basically a fourth rounder, you know? Anyway, thinking of former draft picks, though, and guys that have obviously lived up to their draft status and more, is Trent McDuffie. And he's got to wake up today feeling really good, knowing what eventually is on the horizon if he puts together another
$24 million
unbelievable
a year, $25 million
season.
A year.
And that's because the Broncos and their first-team All-Pro cornerback, Patrick Surtain II, have agreed to a four-year, $96 million contract extension. $77.5 million is guaranteed. And, of course, that makes him the highest-paid defensive back in NFL
by
history.
By a wide margin.
And so if Trent McDuffie gets through this season healthy, plays anywhere near the level that he's been playing at, that's what he's getting and more. He will end up being, for a short period of time, the highest-paid defensive back in the NFL. Now, it's not something that, like, I'm sure the Chiefs are excited about, because they know that they're going to have to pay him that kind of money. That's just the cost of doing business. So it's weird. Like, I see, like, usually we're pro player, and so, like, you love to see somebody get paid what they're worth, so that's always a good thing. Does it make the Chiefs' job tougher, seeing where the, you know, we just saw Trey Smith's peers at his position, the kind of money they're getting? It makes it tougher, and it has made it tougher for them maybe to get something ever done with Trey Smith. This makes it more challenging to get something done with McDuffie, although but I think he's a different type of player where they will have to pay him in a couple years.
The other part is, read the tea leaves. The NFL is telling you something you should all see with every holdout of Trent Williams or Ayuk or every other player, and Creed Humphrey's deal, which I'll get back to in a minute. The NFL is telling you something you should all know by now. The salary cap is about to go up a lot, and everyone in the league knows it. So when you see these dollar amounts right now, stop panicking. He got paid $4 million more per year than the next highest paid corner in the league. It is a significant jump. It's as big of a jump as Creed Humphrey just did to the center. There's a reason why. All the dollars are going up. This is what corners should be getting paid based on where the money is going in the NFL. So, yeah, Trent McDuffie is going to be owed $25 million a year, but that's the same as him making $20 million a year 2 years ago. The numbers are all going up. The price, the cost of business is going up. Locking in these extensions now, and this is why I think the Bengals might be making a huge mistake, locking in these extensions now is actually smart, because the NFL and the league have all started to move towards paying these guys well above market average because they realize that all the price of cost of doing business going up. Went up this season. Career numbers, as in way better than normal career numbers, went up at guard, center, corner, wide receiver, where they took not just jumps, Gold, significant jumps over what the next highest guy was being paid. So, yes, I guess I'm a little bit worried that he's going to have to make $25 million a year. Trent McDuffie is worth it, and they have been willing to pay guys at that level, that price tag.
Especially if this year, without L'Jarius Sneed, he shows he's still that shutdown corner, because his job's going to be more challenging this year without having Sneed. And so if he goes out and he's just as dominant, and he is clearly the best cornerback on the team, then that says a lot about his future earnings as well. They're going to eventually, of course, pay him, but Patrick Surtain II getting that mega deal today gives you at least a ballpark idea on the framework and what a potential deal is going to look like, where, you know, in this case, what, $77.5 million of it were guaranteed, too. And that's the big part of it. We'll talk more about what you alluded to with the Bengals and Ja'Marr Chase during What's Trending and later, as there was some more reporting last night about the likelihood now. It seems more and more likely, as you can hear Drew in the background. He knows what's coming, that he may not be playing week one.
Dude, Bengals are going to lose week one to Jacoby Brissett. That's embarrassing. Yeah,
Drew's going
to
chime in now.
You guys are crazy, all right? I do want to make...
terrible at the beginning of the season. You know that, right?
Yeah, there is some pressure on them to get off to a good start. I do want to make one thing, too, about Trent McDuffie is, in a way, they're getting into the spot where the 49ers are in terms of paying a lot of guys. Yeah. But the thing about the difference maker, as it always seems to be, is Patrick Mahomes, is you pay, like, they're paying the offensive line and they're paying the defense. Everything else is taking care of itself, where Travis should be getting paid more money, but he's taken that cut and has.
Oh, they just took care of him, though, this offseason.
Yeah, they
right,
did.
Right, but
he's still way less than an elite wide receiver, though.
Correct. Historically, he's taken less. And wide receiver wise, you don't have to go to your guys' point of getting a number one. You can just draft guys from here on out, and the running back position takes care of itself, because Patrick Mahomes, whereas the 49ers are concerned, Brock Purdy for right now needs Brandon Ayuk. He needs Debo. He needs George Kittle, because we don't know what he is without that wide receiver talent, where the Chiefs are in that position where Mahomes is so good, you know, you can afford to pay Trent McDuffie, even though it's going to cost you a lot of money. You can afford to pay Chris Jones because you know that Patrick Mahomes can take care of stuff on his own.
I'll also say their offense is really not that expensive. Creed just got paid, so he's still cheap this year.
Yeah.
Tooney's numbers come way down compared to guard average, so you're good there. You're not paying much. You're paying a lot for right tackle.
That's the only contract that looks maybe bad.
Yeah.
Is the Jawan Taylor one right now.
You pay nothing at running back, and you pay one of the five smallest salaries in the entire league right now at wide receiver. Even if you include paying Patrick Mahomes, you pay your weapons less than anyone else in the NFL, essentially. And you still have a good collection of players. It's not even like you're on your own.
It goes back to
a pretty good group.
It goes back to the whole track record that we've discussed of drafting for Brett Veach, why he's the best general manager in the NFL, and assembling the roster. I mean, I would even just point to the last week or so and some of these what seemed to be minor moves, depth moves they weren't happy with, you know, bringing back Juju on a lesser role, bringing in Samaje Perine. Like, these are all moves that, at the time, you know, you may not think much of them, but there's going to be a moment or two in the season where we're going to be saying, man, how big did that signing end up being? Even if it's one play in the playoffs, it'll be worth it. Perine, I think, is going to help them throughout the entire season. But those are the type of moves that don't get talked about, and there's a bunch of them. And Brett Veach's track record. We know last year the big one was the Drew Tranquil acquisition.
Yeah, that was
turned
massive.
Out to be massive, and now he's got an extension, and he's one of their key pieces on defense.
He was so good, they were like, see you later, Willie Gay. We'll just Leo Chanel and Drew Tranquil and Nick Bolton would be our guys. Hell, he's so good that they might walk on Nick Bolton to let your Tranquil do his job at the end of the year.
I think it depends on what Chanel looks like this year, too, right? So
it does. And they've got other linebackers in play. But that's a position, too, that every year you can go out. They found Nick Bolton in the middle of the second round, right? Those players are available. Linebackers can help you immediately. All of those things are capable. I look back at these deals with Trent McDuffie. The league is telling you the numbers. I also think it's why Patrick Mahomes didn't sign yet. He can wait a year because the numbers are all going to skyrocket. I don't know who the next quarterback is to get paid, but whatever that guy gets, it's going to be $5 million more a year than the next closest person because that's just where the numbers are going.
Yeah, who's next up now that Tua?
It's got to be Dak, right?
Oh, Dak. Duh. There you go. Duh. Thank you, Drew.
Yes, I was like, there's probably an obvious one. Dak Prescott.
And he's going to get $60-plus million a year.
Because Jordan Love got paid, right?
Yes.
Tua got paid.
Yeah, Drew's right. Dak's
I don't know who's
one.
After Dak, but yeah. Dak is next.
Yeah. Oh, Brock Purdy after that.
Oh, sure, right.
Sorry, those are the two.
Probably.
Those are the two.
Stroud has another big year.
Yeah, it's Dak and Purdy the next two.
He can't be paid for another year or two.
It's definitely Dak and Purdy the next two, and then we'll just see. It also depends this year on any of the other young quarterbacks, right, what they look like. In their respective year three. Yeah.
Eventually, someone else's deal will come back around, too. Like, it'll be Josh Allen or Joe Burrow.
Josh Allen was asked about it.
It'll be their turn again.
A week or two ago, kind of the same question Mahomes has gotten asked before. Like, hey, you know, you're no longer one of the highest paid. You know, how does that feel, basically? And Josh Allen gave the answer that Mahomes has given a lot to. You know, it's not something he's worried about, et cetera. They all know, like, if you're Allen or Mahomes, you know eventually you're going to once again get the new deal and get taken care of and put yourself back in the top five or so paid quarterback market. Right now, Mahomes has slipped to, isn't he the 10th, 11th highest paid? It depends on how
you look. It depends on if you look at an average annual per year, guaranteed dollars this year, a million different factors.
Yeah.
He's technically the highest guaranteed out of any quarterback this season, but on average annual, he's like, 10th. He's pretty far down there. But he also doesn't care, and we don't care. Why do I care if he was? He's going to make plenty of money. Patrick Mahomes is going to be doing okay. Did you see out that, I was thinking about, Texas Tech gets to try to claim the same thing. Alabama sent out a tweet where, after this most recent extension that you just mentioned, right, for Patrick Surtain, they now have $1 billion worth of contracts in the NFL. I was like, so what? Texas Tech has $500 million worth of contract before I add a single other damn player into the league. I can, I appreciate you, Alabama, but I don't know how many more players I got to add, but I got a half a bill in one quarterback before I even had a single other Texas Tech player might be floating around in the NFL.
Imagine if Alabama had,
Mahomes?
They have Jalen Hurts, right?
Yeah, they do.
They have Jalen Hurts. Am I missing another Alabama?
Tua,
that's the other. That's why their number went up. They have two quarterbacks that are probably accounting for a half a bill of that,
yeah, they do.
Right? They probably have two of them that equal that.
I mean, plus all the wide receiver money that they've gotten over
that's
the years.
That's where defensive line. I know all the other positions. Right. I'm just saying, quarterback wise, what college right now has more NFL quarterback money, if that makes sense?
Oh, no. There's none with more than that, right?
That's got to be it.
They're all just different colleges.
That's what I'm saying. It's just Alabama. The two-star.
Cal.
Is anybody?
Cal. With Jared Goff and Gary Goff
and
Aaron Rodgers? I mean, maybe.
So Rodgers only has 1 year left on his deal, right? Or two?
Sure, I think it's one. I think it's because he signed 2 years, didn't he? I think so. I can't remember.
I was trying to remember now. Yeah, that sounds right.
I guess
maybe Aaron Rodgers is the next
with
guy
the Jets.
To get paid. What do you think?
What?
Said maybe Aaron Rodgers is the next guy who's
get paid by who?
I don't know.
Some future podcast or something?
I don't know. I don't know who's going to get paid by. I'm just making a point. You know, you'd said who's the next highest paid quarterback. I'm glad you're coming back to earth a little bit on the Jets. You know what's funny? It's you and I would. It's so funny, some of the sports, this is not like a knock. I'm laughing at the sports conversations that exist that we can never technically prove one way or the other. I was not high in the Jets. I didn't think they were going to make any noise.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird take the victory lap.
I'm saying is I can't.
Yeah.
I can't disprove your theory that the Jets were good or that we're going to be good. And you can't prove that my theory that they were going to be bad.
We
have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to still somehow take credit for what season it didn't occur. I'm just saying, last year, just we'll never know. This year, I think I have reasonable expectations. I think they're a wild card team.
Yeah, I think they're out of the playoffs. But yes, I understand. Reasonable expectations are a wild card team, probably. Although I still think that means Miami's out, and I still think Miami's good enough to be a wild card.
Yeah, I don't have Miami in.
Yeah, that's why I have.
We did it yesterday. Yeah, I mean, someone brings up, by the way, Clemson has Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence. Financially, they're winning there in terms of overall performance, not so sold.
They're not getting their bang for their buck, I'd say. So far, they've got one playoff win? Does Deshaun Watson have a playoff win?
Well, Trevor Lawrence beat the
Trevor Lawrence has won.
Because they yeah. yeah. Deshaun, didn't they, the year they lost to the Chiefs eventually, but didn't they win that first game of the postseason, or am I off on that? Was that was divisional round weekend, wasn't it? The Texans didn't have a bye. They would have had a win the earlier weekend. I think that's right. I'm trying to remember the exact playoff bracket from that year.
I think you're
when
right.
The Chiefs
I think
came
that
back
was
and beat them.
I think that was
so
divisional.
I think the Texans would have played the week before, if I'm not mistaken.
So they each have one playoff win. They got two playoff wins for $500 million.
Well, we've all acknowledged the Browns contract is terrible. I mean, that's just goes without saying.
Deshaun Watson does have one playoff win, one of them.
And it must have been.
It's still terrible. Can you imagine? Like, look at that deal right now.
They just guaranteed more money of it. Did you see they converted a free space?
They need a cap space.
They guaranteed even more of the contract, and it was already like or something I saw in the last week or so. So it's pretty crazy. All right, coming up next, as we continue broadcasting from Rally House at Oak Park, right across from Oak Park Mall, getting you set for the start of this Chiefs football season. You can come out here, register to win a couple Chiefs Super Bowl prize packs, and pick up some new gear ahead of the game tomorrow. We'll get to what's trending, and, yeah, we'll get back into this Royals team that has the season-long losing streak continue to 7.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.